Let's go then to the last book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1. We'll read there the whole chapter, and then we'll focus in especially on verses 9 through 16. Or rather, 9 through 20. The Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the world of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, let's spend some time with John on the island of Patmos this morning. Perhaps it's not where you expected to go, but it's good that we can go to be with him because he was given a revelation so that we could share it with him. We think about that John on that Lord's Day, that first day of the week, already the early church was celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ on a Sunday and the coming of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, on a Sunday. And on a Sunday, Jesus said, come on up here. I am the first. I am the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. John, it's time to go to worship and worship me, the risen Savior, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. How amazing that must have been when we think of where John was. John was on the island of Patmos, there in the middle of the sea, about 60 kilometers off the west coast of Asia Minor. And that island was about 12 kilometers long by 6 kilometers wide, and it was a penal colony. It was known for its marble and stone, and so these men had to work very hard, long, hot days there by the crashing of the sea. And it seems that John was all alone, that John was on the island for simply bringing the word of the Lord. We're going to see together two things when we serve the risen Lord. One is that even though Jesus Christ is victorious and he's won the victory over sin, death, and hell, that royal sufferer is still asking his people to suffer, but also unto their victory and unto their glory. And so we'll see John and relate to John and understand what Jesus is doing with John. And then in our second point, we'll see who is this Jesus, the royal sufferer, who is revealed in all of his ascended glory. John says, I'm your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, isn't it, that John appeals to us, not first of all in his office, not first of all by sort of throwing his authority around. I am John. I spent 3 years with Jesus Christ. I am John who beat Peter to the grave, and I looked in and I kind of remembered that, yeah, Jesus was going to rise from the dead. I am John who saw Jesus Christ in his resurrected glory. I am John who was called by Jesus Christ to be a disciple. He was all of those things. But it's not the way he appeals to us this morning. He appeals to us this morning as one who is in trial and trouble, which sounds like there's a little bit of that going on this morning. He's one who appeals to us as a brother. I think that's beautiful. And I think for all of us who've been called to service, all of us elders and deacons and pastors, we need to think about that more often. How we come to people, husbands to wives, fathers to children, especially men. Is it to be aggressive? He says, no, I struggle with you. I'm in tribulation like you. You know, a lot of times people will talk about the great tribulation that's coming. I don't know. It sounds to me like the Church of Jesus Christ had never been under greater persecution and tribulation than right at that very beginning. I mean, you think of what's going on. Not only is the Jew-on-Jew persecution, which we're going to read about in Revelation if you continue to read the book, just absolutely terrible. I mean, today many of you are going to be with family, blood family, right? But if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were shunned by your Jewish family. You were booted out of the synagogue. You had no place in your Jewish community anymore. And they were handing you over to the authorities. They are saying that Jesus Christ is king. And we have no king but Caesar. Remember, we heard that on Good Friday, that the Jews were even throwing that around. They could not stand anybody who gave their life to Jesus Christ, especially a Jew, because that would be to become a traitor. That would become to turn your back on that kingdom. And that kingdom, of course, was finished now. And Jesus Christ was to be honored and glorified. Now you add to that that Jew or Christianity became an illegal religion. It became a seditious religion because they were saying Jesus Christ is Lord and King. That this was seen as an attack on Caesar. And yet never did Jesus Christ pick up a sword. Never did his people pick up a sword. The only sword they picked up was the one coming out of his mouth, which is the sword of the Spirit. The only thing that these people were doing, and especially in those days, was preaching, teaching, bringing the word of the Lord, comforting those who were having difficult times, and healing those who needed a miracle, that all could see that Jesus Christ was a kingdom of peace, and a kingdom of grace, and a kingdom of love. And on the one hand, you know, all of that is a testimony that Jesus Christ is alive. How else could it be that this little fledgling church survived? That there in Ephesus and Smyrna and Laodicea, there was no church, and then there was a church. There was no body of Christ, and there was a body of Christ, but not without trouble, and not without struggle, and not without suffering. Because there was people there who never saw their mother again, or their brothers or sisters again because they were fed to the lions, who never saw their fathers or their uncles or their brothers again because they were wrapped up and tied up as patio lanterns at the emperor's parties, burned alive for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now John, what had John done? All John had done is preach the wonderful good news that Jesus Christ is alive. And you know, that message, which Paul writes as a stumbling block to the Jews, a scandal to the Gentiles, no one could stand this. Everybody is willing to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Everybody's willing to talk to you about the man. Everybody's even willing to talk to you about the innocent man who died. People even love that. It feeds their sense of wokeness and their sense of the injustice of authority. But as soon as you want to talk about he's alive, that he is in heaven, that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, they hate it. And they will do everything they can to shut us down. Why is that message that brings us such joy that we come to church this morning and hallelujah, he is risen. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. We can't get enough of it. And then it's almost like the creation is you know, echoing it today with the beautiful sunshine and the warming temperatures. And we go, he's alive. And we know it in our hearts. And yet that's the exact message that they hate, and they hate us for bringing that message. Love crucified arose. And he's in heaven. But as long as we are on this earth, as part of those seven churches which were real churches, that had real problems, losing their first love, being lukewarm, not being good to one another, always in danger of giving in to heresy or sexual problems, all of those churches are written a letter, and Jesus Christ speaks to every one of them so that here at Sheffield and all the churches that some of you are members who are visiting with us today might be reminded that as Israel fell and had their hearts hardened and then put Jesus Christ on the cross, so we are always that close to falling away if it weren't for the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. The church is not the imagination of Christians. It is the wonder of God's plan and the execution of that plan through a risen Savior who is in heaven. And I always wonder what John must have thought when he hears the voice of Jesus. I was in the Spirit. So it's this little while ago that we did Isaiah going to the temple. Ezekiel had the same sort of experience, and both of them saw angels and holy, 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 and all of those amazing things that we read about in Revelation 4 and 5. But he hears that voice. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Notice that that was first how God introduced himself, and now Jesus is introducing himself that way. But what did John see? What did he hear? Because it's a little bit different for him than for us. He actually got to walk with Jesus for 3 years of his life. He heard that voice for 3 years. He saw Jesus do amazing things for 3 years of his life. You know, even when John says, I was just in awe, and I fell as if I was dead, which again, sometimes you read about these preachers who apparently talk with Jesus and talk with God and just, you know, have no problem. Jesus is their buddy. You go, that's not what happened to John. That's not what happened to Isaiah. That's not what happened to Ezekiel. And it wouldn't happen to us. If Jesus would appear right now in all of his glory, we would all be going, whoa, it's just too much for a human being to even handle or cope with. And then what does Jesus say to John? Don't be afraid. This is John who was in that boat with all of the other disciples. Remember, it was going through that wicked tempest. And the boat was going back and forth. And they all thought they were going to die. And they're looking at Jesus. Jesus, what now? We're going to die here on the bottom of this lake. And then Jesus says, don't be afraid. And he says, peace be still. And it went from loud and noisy and blustery to quiet. Don't be afraid. And when Jesus Christ appeared to them after his resurrection, what did he say? Don't be afraid. And now John hears it again. Jesus touches him like he had touched the lepers and healed them. How he had touched them before as he walked with them. And one more time, he can physically touch them. Did you realize that? Jesus physically touched John. Hey, John, don't be afraid. Because the last thing that John heard Jesus say when Jesus left this earth was what? Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Some people say that that's the theme of Revelation. Others say that the theme of Revelation is in all this we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Maybe put those together. Jesus is telling you this morning, as he's telling John, don't be afraid. I am glorious, I am great, but I am your Savior. Be at peace with me. But understand what it is that you must do for me. Understand that to serve me, you will have to follow me. You will have to pick up your cross. Your life is not going to be easy. All of you who want to live a holy life will be persecuted and you will be oppressed. Maybe not in the way they were in that early powerful attack of Satan, who tries to get the church at its weakness, to try to rub it out. But you know that resurrection that happens with Jesus Christ alive, now there's a resurrection that's happening in dead people who did not know Jesus Christ, and there is a resurgence, there is a resurrection, there's a coming to life of faith. And the world of death cannot stand the world of life, which we hope to take up this evening when we take up Father in heaven, your kingdom come. That there is one kingdom up against many kingdoms, but really there are just two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light exists because of the great and the living one. John, I want you to write this down. I want you to write down everything you see, and I want you to write down everything you hear. And did you see what it said at the beginning? Blessed are all who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Don't neglect reading Revelation. Ah, but it's too hard. Is it? Or do you just think it's too hard? Just read it and keep reading it. The first 11 churches, Jesus talks from heaven to the church. I am with you. We are going to overcome. You are in struggle. You are in persecution. But I am with you. We are going to win because I have won. Don't be afraid. And in the second, we have that application of what the devil is doing on earth and how the Jesus Christ is, through the church, answering the work of the devil through world governments and through false philosophies and all of those sorts of things too. It's not a book about predicting every last thing that's going to happen before Jesus comes. It's saying, I am going to come, and before I am going to come, I will be with you from generation to generation, through your trial, through your suffering, and yet you will experience great joy. And everything that my Father promised at the beginning of the Bible, the end of the devil is sure, it is going to happen. And then you are going to live with me in the new Jerusalem, in that new place of glory and wonder. Don't be afraid. Now look at who Jesus is. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. And yet the one who is the first and the last is the one who John says is like the Son of Man. That is the name that Jesus used to call himself, the Son of Man. The one who was God who took on human flesh. The one who was the Messiah. The one who was the Lion of Judah who became the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. The one who came as God in human flesh to die on the cross. The one that the Jews could not stand because they wanted a son of David who was the Lion of Judah, not a son of God who became a lamb to be crucified. Jesus says, this is who I am. You know me, John. You know who I am. And then he says, I turned and I looked to see that voice. That's interesting, eh? I looked to see the voice and I saw him standing among the seven golden lampstands, which we know then are those churches which are burning brightly in the world. And there is one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest. So here's something new. So John saw Jesus Christ resurrected in a glorified human body, but you could see his holes in his hands, and you could see the scars. And then Jesus goes up, and we think he gives the Aaronic blessing. He goes up holding his hands up, and they look up, which, by the way, is what you should do when you receive the blessing at the end of the service. You look up, and then the Lord blesses you, and then he goes up. And then the next time John sees him in all of his divine glory, his resurrected glory. One who is still human, one who is still true man, he is true God. And he looks like a king who is dressed like a high priest. So we're entering into the Holy of Holies now. We're going into the Holy of Holies, of which the tabernacle and the temple was only a reasonable facsimile. But now we're up there with him. And then read Revelation 4 and 5, and you're in military headquarters of the king who is the soldier warrior, the royal sufferer who is now revealed in all his divine power. and all of his glory. And he's like the sun burning with power. The power of the church is the risen Savior. The light of the world, the church, is because it reflects the light of Jesus Christ. Many of you know that, right? The moon does not bear light. It's not a source of light. It only reflects the light of the sun. Well, that's what we are. We are burning with the brilliance of the risen Savior who raises people from deadness of faith to a living faith. And there then, in us, they begin to see him. And John says, I'm going to take you out of you and into heaven so now you can see him. What gives energy to the earth? The sun. What causes things to grow? The sun. What causes us to be able to see and to live? It's the sun. And Jesus in his glory, all the light of the world, all the colors, all joined together and then blowing back at you. That's who your risen Savior is. That's how great he is. His feet are like fine brass refined in a furnace. His hair is white as snow. He's pure and he's judging the earth. He's coming like a consuming fire, but don't be afraid. Remember, he's not coming to judge you because he's died for you. He's given his life for you. When he comes again, we will be thrilled, but when he comes again, the world will be devastated. The world will be in awe unto fear with no relief of that fear. You see, the world wants to leave you with a Jesus Christ who's effeminate looking and white skin and long hair. But that's not who he is now. That's why John gives this for us to see. Who is your risen Savior? See his power. See his dignity. See his majesty. See his royalty. Behold your King now. Is it easier to love him now than he was on the cross? Easier to love him now than when he was in Gethsemane? Easier to love him now when the blood is flowing from the lashes and from the crown of thorn? Crown him now with many crowns. Give him the glory and the honor on the cross, in the grave, and now in heaven. Lord of lords and King of kings. See him in all of his resurrection might and power. And live in that hope. John, I know you're on the island of Patmos. I know you're all alone. You must be feeling lonely and devastated. All John wants to do is to go to church. And then Jesus says, come up here, go to church with me. He's saying to all of those Christians in tribulation, I know you're struggling. I know what you've been through. I know that some of you have even died, but I am with you. I know that some of you are not feeling well. I know some of you are going through marital trials and difficulties or watching people you love go through it. I know that some of you are dealing with cancer or pain that you don't even understand. I know that some of you are depressed to the core of your being. I know some of you have been abused and maltreated in ways that we can't are unspeakable from the pulpit. I know all of it, but look at me. I am your Lord. Don't be afraid. I am the first. I am the last. I am true God, and I am the Son of Man. What you are going through, I have been through, and there's nothing you will go through that I haven't been through, Jesus says. Come to me now, for I am with you. Read Revelation and be strong in me. Be strong in this resurrection power. For, beloved, our body and our blood, one like us, is in heaven. And though you die, if you believe in him, you will live again. And you will share in the inheritance of glory and resurrection and eternal life. And so Jesus says, now I want you to come to the table. And I want you to eat of my body. And I want you to drink of my blood, not as one who is dead, but as one who is alive. I am alive, he said. And the Word calls to you, John calls to you, the Holy Spirit calls to you this morning, people of Zion. Behold your King. Glorify your King. Give this King all the glory and honor. Do his name that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love you for crucifying your Son. That love crucified arose. And on the third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Father in heaven, we come now with our sins and our sorrows, our trials and our brokenness to your table to feast on the risen Savior, to feast on this King of Kings, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And as you have fed us and shown us Christ, by your word, please do that now by the sacrament, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.